Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for listening to the show today. Today I have a message that is really going to hit home with some of you, and I'm really excited for the eyes that are going to be open when this message is being heard today. The name of my website is Torah Life Ministries, and I want to remind everybody here that Torah is not a Jewish word. Torah is a Bible word. Torah is the first five books of the Bible. Now, most Christians think the Bible starts in the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, and that is not true. The first book of the Bible is Genesis, and in Hebrew, Genesis means Bereshit, beginning, and that is the beginning. And we need to understand the beginning if we want to understand the middle and the end, and the whole story. And the Bible is a history book. It's a book about His story. And to leave out the most important parts, the foundation of all of it, would just confuse many people. And there are many people running around the church today that are confused, because that's exactly what they do, and that's exactly what they have done. Well, today we're going to talk about being set apart and what that actually means, because there are a lot of people out there that are missing the understanding of what being set apart truly is and what we have to do as believers, what we're called to do and how we're called to act. We're going to see that here today. And I just want to remind everybody that regardless of what the world tells you, regardless of what the world does, regardless of what the church tells you, regardless of what the church does, if it doesn't match up with Scripture, they are wrong. Scripture is not just some words written by some man. Scripture are words written by men who are inspired by a wonderful Creator. It is the Word of our Creator. And when He gave us a second chance at life, because Yeshua, the one they called Jesus, died for us and gave us a second chance, He didn't leave us empty-handed. He gave us these words, these instructions, these guidelines, the world's greatest book ever written, so we know how we should live, so we know how we should act. It's called in several places a schoolmaster or a teacher or to show us when we're doing right or wrong. Exactly. So we understand and we know when we're doing right or wrong. We cannot and should not go off our own idea and our own thinking. There's a verse in the Bible that says, there's a way before each man that seems right but ends in death. But our own thinking, our feelings get involved, our emotions get involved. But the Word is the Word regardless of how we feel about it. And we have to make a decision when we repent and accept Yeshua, the one they call Jesus as Messiah, that we are going to follow the way He told us to live. That's what being a follower is all about. Follow Messiah. Follow Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, and not follow your feelings or the ways of the world or any of these different things. That's what we have to do. We start off today by looking at Shaul, which is also referred to as Paul in the scriptures. And we see a man here who was brought up in the custom and the traditions of man-made Judaism, which the Bible condemns, which Yeshua our Messiah condemns, which the church and condemns, which everything that goes according to the scriptures condemns. It's a system of man-made traditions. Are they all bad? No. But still, it's a man-made thing. And this is what Paul was part of. And he was a master at it. He was one of the most highest scholars when it comes to this system, this man-made system of something called Judaism. And here he was so sure about what he believed that he would go around and condemn people that were proclaiming Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus. He was telling them to stop doing it. He was putting some of them to death for doing this. And Yeshua Messiah came not too long before that and was condemning and putting down the man-made system of Judaism that Paul was part of. That's what Yeshua was doing. Yeshua wasn't saying we're not supposed to follow these guidelines and instructions. Yeshua was saying, no, these system of Judaism, these people want a man-made power, and they're telling people that basically adding to the word. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy, do not add or take away, but keep my guidelines and instructions. How do you mistranslate Do not add but take away, but keep them. Underline, highlight the word keep them, but keep them. So Yeshua like didn't say you can't keep the Sabbath. No, he was saying this is how you keep the Sabbath, because they're being taught to do it wrong because of this system of Judaism that Paul was part of. And then what happens to Paul? Paul has this conversion. So he falls off the horse, and all of a sudden he sees Messiah, Acts 26:15, and he asks, "Who are you? Who are you, sir?" And he hears back, "I am Yeshua, the one whom you prosecute." Acts 26:16, Paul is told by Yeshua, "Rise up and stand on your feet, for it is this reason I appear to you." So now Yeshua is explaining to Paul the reason this is happening. He says, "To appoint you a servant and a witness, both of what you saw and what I shall appear to you." We move to Acts 26:17. "Having delivered you from the people and the nations whom I now send you to." So basically, Yeshua is telling Paul, you are being delivered from the system of Judaism, these people of Judaism, this man-made tradition that you came out of. And he's bringing you and sending you to the nations, basically to the Gentiles. And Gentiles do not mean the non-Jewish people. Gentiles or the nations mean the non-believers of Yeshua. So now you have the master non-believer of Yeshua being sent, converted, and being sent to the other believers of not believing in Yeshua. And he's going out there. And so that's what he's doing. He's being sent to them. And Yeshua said, "I am now sending you there." And why is he sending them there? In Acts 26:18, and this is what we're focusing on today, folks. This is what we're covering. Acts 26:18 says, "To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the authority of Satan to Yahweh, in order that they may receive remission of sins and inheritance among those being sanctified by faith in me," meaning in Yeshua. So basically, we're going to look at turning from darkness to light. So what is darkness to light according to Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, our Messiah, who was explaining this to Paul, who wrote primarily most of the New Testament? What is turning from darkness to light? What does that mean? Well, we see it's getting away from the authority of Satan and calling Yeshua our master and our king, and that people's eyes would be opened. You turn from darkness to light. Well, when we look at the original covenant, often referred to as the Old Testament, and folks, there's nothing old about it. It was renewed. It's not something new that was given. It was so important in this Bible, this covenant, that our Creator said, "Let's take it off paper and put it on people's hearts." And it's renewed covenant, not a new covenant. And the Bible is one book and not two books. If you really truly want to understand the Bible, if you really want to be a follower of Yeshua, you have to understand that. And you have to take your Bible and rip out the page that separates the original and the renewed covenant, or the Old and the New Testament. You need to rip it out. It's one book and it's not two. And until you start looking at it as one book, you're never ever going to understand fully how to follow Yeshua Messiah. And your eyes will not be open. But when you start looking at it as one book, you start seeing the where the church is going wrong and leading people astray and keeping people stuck in sin and in darkness. But it says here, Paul was sent to turn people from darkness to light. So what does turn people from darkness to light mean? Well, we go to Exodus 23:2. Exodus 23:2 says, "You must not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you are called to testify in a dispute, do not be swayed by the crowd to twist justice." Not only is this done exactly what was done when Yeshua was persecuted and sent to hang on a tree, but you must not follow the crowd in doing wrong. So what is wrong according to the scripture? See, we're not looking at what's wrong according to us. What's wrong according to the scripture? What's wrong according to the scripture is sin. You must not follow the crowd in sinning. You must not follow the crowd in disobeying our Creator. You must not follow the crowd in the ways of the world or your own ways. No, you must be set apart from the crowd. Don't follow the crowd, be set apart. So stay away. It says in Psalms 1, do not Delight in the counsel of the wicked, or do not hang around with the wicked, but delight in the counsel of the righteous. So we need to set apart ourselves from those doing wrong. Deuteronomy 12:30 says, do not fall into the trap of following their customs and worshiping their gods. This is exactly what Paul just got delivered from. He was part of this crowd of Judaism that was following these customs and worshiping a different, well, it's the same God, but they weren't accepting Yeshua as Messiah. They were rejecting Yeshua. So he said, do not follow the customs and worship the gods of the sinners. Don't even inquire about their gods, saying, how do these nations worship their gods? I want to follow their example. And that's exactly what happened when the children went into the promised land. They were told to destroy everything, but some of them say, I'm curious about these different things. So not only are we not told, we're told to separate and divide ourselves, we're told it's not even to fall into the trap. It's a trap of Satan, the trap of the enemy, is to follow their customs and worship their gods. And that's exactly what's happening today in the church. Many people are deceived, and they're mingling the seed, and they're following the customs of the world. They're following the customs of the followers of other gods, and they're curious about this, and they want to follow their example. Joshua 23:6 says, so be very careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of the instructions. Do not deviate from it, turning either to the right or left. Basically, what Moses wrote was not made up by Moses. What Moses wrote was from our Creator, Yahweh. And what he wrote was the instructions and the guideline, also known as the Torah. And it's found in the first five books of the Bible. People say, oh, the Mosaic Covenant. No, Moses didn't make this up. He was the messenger. Yahweh gave it to us. And Yeshua told us, this is how we are to live. The scriptures warn us here in Joshua, be very careful to follow everything. Somebody underline everything, highlight everything in Joshua 23:6. To follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instructions. Do not deviate, turning either to the right or to the left. So we are told here, and showing what moving from darkness to light is. We must not follow the crowd in doing wrong, which basically is sinning, which basically is living against the Bible. We must not fall into the trap of following their customs and inquiring about their gods. But we must be very careful to follow everything that our Creator told us to do in the Bible, and not picking and choosing. Follow everything it says. We have to keep our root pure. We have to keep the thinking pure, and not deviate, and not follow others, and not inquire about others. And the warning was given to the children of Israel when they went into the promised land of Leviticus 18:3-6. It says, so do not act like the people in Egypt where you used to live, or do not act like the people of Canaan where I am taking you. You must not imitate their way of life. You must not imitate the way of life. See, folks, being set apart is when you're standing next to somebody without even saying a word, you are to look different than them. You are not to imitate their way of life, the way they dress, the way they look, the way they act, the way they talk, the way they speak, the way they think, the fear that they have of man. No, we are to look and be holy and set apart for a wonderful Creator. That's what he calls us to do. Leviticus. Let's look at Leviticus, and we're going to look at Leviticus 20. This is a very important chapter that so many people miss. They don't get it. They don't read it. And it's so important. Leviticus 20. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, give the people of Israel these instructions. Now, first, let me say the people of Israel. Who are the people of Israel? Because there's an excuse in the church today to say, well, that's for Israel. We're not Israel. Listen, folks. The Gentiles and the heathens and the nations that we were talking about earlier, that is not Israel. Those that accept Yeshua as Messiah, the one you call Jesus, as the Savior, those that accept him, you now become Israel. And you are Israel. So this is instructions for the people of Israel. It's not only the physical state they're talking about. It's the physical country. It's the application of those that have been grafted in, those that have accepted Yeshua as Messiah. They are Israel. And whenever you see in the Bible, this is for Israel, these instructions for Israel, this is for Israel, you are required to follow them and not deviate and not pick and choose and not look at what other people are doing and not hang around the wicked and not follow their ways or inquire about their gods, but do not deviate from the word of our Creator, every word that Moses gave us, as it says in the Bible. So Leviticus 22, it says, give the people of Israel these instructions, which apply to both native Israelites and to foreigners living in Israel. So that's the grafted in as well as the people born of Israel. If any of them offer their children as a sacrifice to Molech, they must be put to death. The people of the community must stone them to death. There was a common pagan practice of that day to sacrifice children by this false god called Molech. And this is what was done commonly in those days. And here our Creator is telling Moses to tell the children of Israel and the foreigners with them, or those that are grafted in, do not partake in this evil, wicked practice. If you give your children over to these gods, you as well shall be stoned to death. You should be put in this. It goes on saying in Leviticus 23, I will turn against them and cut them off from the community because they have defiled my sanctuary and brought shame on my holy name by offering their children to Molech. Leviticus 24 says, and if the people of the community ignore those who offer their children to Molech and refuse to execute them, I myself will turn against them and their families and will cut them off from the community. This will happen to all who commit spiritual prostitution by worshiping Molech. So we see here, not only were the ones that were actually physically giving their children away to these other gods were responsible and would suffer, but also the community who ignored it. And me, as a health watchman, I can no longer ignore brothers and sisters that call themselves believers in Yeshua, that commit spiritual prostitution on a daily basis, not only by giving your children over to the world and the gods of this world, and sacrificing them and letting them partake in the things of this world, but to stand up and speak up and say, you need to stop this. You need to stop committing spiritual prostitution by inquiring about other gods, by following other gods, by deviating from the word of our wonderful Creator. It goes on to say here in Leviticus 27, it says, So set yourself apart to be holy, for I am Yahweh, your Creator. So set yourself apart to be holy. I am Yahweh, your Creator. That is what we are called to do, to set ourselves apart. Leviticus 28 says, keep all my decrees by putting them into practice, for I am Yahweh who makes you holy. So to set yourself apart, and how to do that? To keep all the decrees, all the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, to put them into practice. And here's the thing, folks. It comes down to this. We have to understand, we're all sinners, folks. We're all sinning. We all mess up. But do we practice our sin on a daily basis and make an excuse to keep doing it? Or do we repent? And do we have remorse for doing it? And do we choose not to make a practice of doing these things that we shouldn't be doing on a daily basis? That's the difference. It's not about being perfect. What it is about is, are we making a practice at being impure and imperfect and following other gods and giving our children over to these other gods and giving our families and ourselves over to these other gods? Or are we following every word that Moses wrote down that was given by a wonderful Creator Yahweh? Leviticus 20:22 says, you must keep all my decrees and regulations by putting them into practice. So on a regular basis, they say practice makes perfect. So we need to be righteous on a daily basis by putting them into practice. Otherwise, the land which I am bringing to you as your new home will vomit you out. Leviticus 20:23 says, do not live according to the customs of the people I am driving out before you. It is because they do these shameful things that I detest them. Folks, we are living in a world today where we're doing the shameful things that the Bible commands us not to do. We're living completely against these guidelines and instructions that our Creator gave us, found in the commandments. We're making excuses of why we no longer need to follow these things. We're mingling the seed. We're giving our children over to the gods of this world. And we wonder why we suffer curses. We wonder why we suffer the way we do. The Bible is clear, folks. The Bible is clear of how we are to live and who we are to follow. But people just are not doing that today. They're not making a practice at being holy. They're making a practice out of listening to secular music. They're making a practice out of watching secular. At being a sinner. They're becoming perfect at being impure. They're becoming perfect at ignoring the very instructions that Yahweh gave Paul when the conversion says they must turn from darkness to light. People are making a practice out of staying in darkness. And you must come out of the darkness and come into the light. That's what it comes down to. Time is running out, folks. And we are called to help each other. We are called to be health watchmen for each other. 3 John 1:11 says, dear friend, don't let the bad example influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are a wonderful Creator's children, and those who do evil prove they do not know Him. They do not know Him. It's found in the fruit. But we have to look at the world's ways versus man's ways and who you want to follow. The Bible says clearly, today I give before you life and death. Choose life so you may live. And as it says in the scriptures, the people heard this and they answered, yet not a word. We are given that same choice today, life or death. We need to choose life so we can live. Our Creator says, I offer you a more excellent way. I promise you, He has a plan and He knows better than we do. The more excellent way isn't the way of this world that it just has people trapped in fear and on all the tragedies that are going around. No, the more excellent way is when our Creator says, you know the plans I have for you. They are for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope. When our Creator says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. My only desire is for them to change from their wicked ways so they could live, so they could have life. And just like He took Paul, who was somebody who was persecuting Yeshua, who was part of this system or just another worldly system, just another man-made system of traditions. And He took Paul and He said, I'm going to open your eyes to do this. Paul still had a choice. Paul still had a choice to follow or not follow. And our Creator says in the Bible, many are called, but few are chosen. Or we could say many are called, but few choose. We have a choice. Who do you want to follow? Do you want to follow the world's ways and worry and think about you know better than our Creator? Or do you want to admit that our Creator knows better than we do and take confidence in that? And when He says, if you follow my ways, all will be well with you. All will be well. Maybe not according to man's ways and the world's ways, but all will be well with you according to our Creator's ways. And the blessings that come in disguise that we don't see here today, that we don't understand here today, they're happening and they're taking place. So I want to remind everybody and let everybody know what the scriptures say. And if you call yourself a Christian or a believer of the Bible or a believer, a wonderful Creator, stop making the excuses and following the man-made traditions of Christianity or the man-made traditions of Judaism or the man-made traditions of anything other than what the Bible tells us to do, which is not a man-made tradition, but a way of living. And that's what it comes down to, the traditions of man versus the design of our Creator. And our Creator, who formed us in the womb, knew every hair on our head before we were even born, had a plan for us, and it is for good and not disaster, to give us a future and a hope. He's given us Messiah to give us a second chance to get it right. You have this opportunity now to say and question everything that the Bible is saying and you're going against, that the church is teaching you to live against. So when you start partaking in these holidays of the world, start questioning, why do we no longer keep the set appointed holy days of the Bible that says you should keep these throughout all your generations? I want you to get this clear, folks, and listen clearly. We are saved only by the blood of Messiah. He is the one that set us free, and He gave us a second chance. We're not saved by works. We're saved by the wonderful mercy of our Creator, who's given us Yeshua, by the blood of Yeshua, who took our place on death row and set us free. We don't keep and do something to be saved. No, we should keep and do the guideline instruction of our Creator, not to be saved, but because we are saved, because what He did for us. That's why we should do it. He set us free and died for us. How many people do you know that would die for you? We need to tell people about it. We need to show people. We need to not be embarrassed to let people know that Yeshua died for all of us. We have no problem asking a stranger at the bus stop for directions, but we get upset or scared or nervous when it comes down to letting people know Yeshua died for us. No, folks, we are called to go out there and let the world know, however it be. We need to speak up. If somebody has to wonder if you're a believer or not, or you're a Christian or not, you're not doing a good enough job speaking up loud enough. Especially if you're following the traditions of this world or the systems of this world. You need to not be a part of any system. You need to be a follower of the Bible. So when somebody asks you what you are you this part of the system, part of this system, part of this religion, or that religion? No. I follow Yeshua, the one they call Jesus. I follow the Bible, that's the instructions that were given to Moses, known as the Torah. No, it's not a Jewish thing. It's a Bible thing. And that's what I want to follow the best I can to my best ability. And I know if I'm doing that and seeking that, when I mess up, I have the mercy and grace of my wonderful Creator. But I also know that if I completely ignore that and make excuses to keep living in sin, I don't got that mercy anymore. Because the chances run out, as our Creator says. You know, He's given us time to get it right, but He's a jealous Elohim, and we will suffer for our consequences. So I want to call everybody to get this right. If you're listening, depending where you're listening on this, please share this with others. If you're in South Florida, we have a local fellowship, 3 p.m. every Sabbath. You can contact me at the phone number at the end of the program. I want to encourage everybody to get to my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, where there's a ton of videos and podcasts that talk about this information. You can sign up for my Facebook page. And every Friday night, we have live fellowship, 10 p.m. Eastern time, via my website, healthwatchman.com, or you can go to, basically, it's TorahLifeMinistries.org. You can go there for 10 o'clock Friday night Eastern time, or just go to my YouTube page, which is Health Watchman. That's the link of my YouTube page, or that's the channel it's under. And you can join us for live fellowship every Friday night. So I want to thank everybody for listening today and encourage you to just find people and hang out with people that are following the scriptures and not following the ways of this world. We have a wonderful opportunity. Time is still here. Time has not run out yet, and it will soon. So I pray that your hearts are converted. I pray that you're convicted to start following the way of life, the way of Yeshua, the truth. And just like Paul, that your eyes are opened and you go from darkness to light. So thank you for checking out, everybody. We'll be back next week, same time, Yahweh willing. Until then, everybody, have a great day and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 334. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.